What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you. Wonderful to be with you as we broadcast today from the NovaCare Complex, where, of course, the Eagles will have training camp, ongoing today. As they got at it yesterday, they'll get at it again today. We'll be at it for the next 4 hours and with you at 215-592-9494. You know, an awful lot from yesterday, of course, to discuss what was said by Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman, Jalen Hurts, and others. Also, you know, just what happened in practice. You know, we'll talk to Elliot Sher-Parks, a training camp report from Elliot, and we'll have our own eyes on everything that develops today. We also had our eyes on the Phils yesterday, a frustrating loss as they just are not in a good groove right now. So all of it on the table and a lot of it with you at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Joe.
What's up, bud?
If you stretched a slinky, standard slinky out straight,
yep,
it would be 87 feet long.
That's hard to believe.
Wow.
That's hard to believe. That's a good fact right there.
Good yeah. fact.
Can
good
I tell
fact.
You a better fact?
And it'd be hard to get that straight. Think about
well,
that.
Well, I would imagine
My
so.
Gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about how painstaking that would be to get
be
to
fun.
Reach the full 87 feet.
Yeah,
because it's
got
to be straight.
So no disrespect to your fact, which I do like a lot, but I think you will agree with me. Better fact, we are broadcasting from Eagles training camp. You pumped up, John. I mean, John, now I know for you back in the day, this would throw a shudder through you. Two-a-days, and Andy's making
no,
me, you
No, this
know,
wouldn't throw a shudder.
Sprint.
This would not throw a shudder through me. This would mean that we made it through training camp if we were actually here at the NovaCare facility.
Oh, that's
we
right.
were sequestered well, away at Lehigh.
That's right. That's
up
right.
there in the dorms, in the student dorms with no AC.
Yeah.
Practicing in pads.
You looking forward
each
to
other
seeing stuff today,
twice
man?
A day.
I mean, this is our first
oh!
chance this year to see stuff. Now the practice
I'm
will start
thrilled.
Right after our show ends. But look, we're gonna have Devontae Smith on the show today, and you know we'll be all eyes for what's going on out here.
Yeah,
so.
I'm really thrilled to have a chance to catch it in real life with our eyes.
Yeah.
We've had this. It really is a privilege to be out here to be able to see this with our own eyes, and we're gonna try to. You know, convey that.
That's right.
From day to day, whatever we see.
Yeah, it's great stuff. By the way, this broadcast today, as we brought, and this is one of, I forget the exact number, I think it's like 7 or 8 different shows we're going to do this year from Eagles training camp. This broadcast is here on WIP, Camp Comeback at the NovaCare Complex, driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier family-owned dealership. For locations, go to HitchRV.com. .com. All right, 215-592-9494 for everyone to weigh in during the show. Obviously, we'll play a lot of audio today on the show from yesterday. Things said by Nick, things said by Howie, things said by Jalen. And as I mentioned, Devontae Smith, you know, obviously a still relatively young, but clearly star wide receiver, now entering year 4, will join us at 8:30. We'll also do a lot on the Phils. But, John, let's start Eagles because, you know, it's a very simple question. To you and everyone at 215-592-9494, if you feel better about the Eagles after yesterday.
Oh.
So, you know, we heard, obviously,
heavens
from the guys.
Yes,
yeah, I
the
do,
camera.
So I do, too. Here's where I'm at. So I'm not heavens yes, but here's where I'm at. And, again, everyone can weigh in, 215-592-9494, based on what you heard. And, of course, you know, I'm sure most people listening didn't see. But, all right, so here's where I'm at on whether I feel better about the Eagles. I feel, I'll say, a little better. I can't go a lot. Here's where I'm at. I don't put a ton of stock in all the nice words because I mostly expected them to be said. I certainly thought Sirianni.
We just heard them not said.
No, I understand
like,
that.
I
no.
expected them to be said the time before, and
well, I
they
did
weren't.
Too. I did
so
too.
Now,
no,
I
but it's
just
not like he went
cow.
Over the top.
This
it's not like he was
crazy.
Like Nick is the greatest yeah. coach. He was just yeah. like, we're okay. We're
yeah,
going to go be
yeah.
together.
I agree with you on that, Jan. So here's where I'm at. I certainly expected prior to yesterday. And during our show yesterday, before these guys spoke, that Sirianni would say a lot of great things about Jalen, and he clearly did. I also generally thought that Jalen would do enough to satisfy the situation by playing nice with Nick, and I think he did.
Now, but what I envisioned that to look like
yep.
was very reserved compared
I
to
agree
the
with,
Jalen
I
that
agree.
We got.
I agree with that.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
This is a different Jalen. This is the Jalen that I think I saw at the Pro Bowl last year when I thought, wow, I don't even recognize this guy. He's a social butterfly going around from receiver to receiver on all these other teams, just interacting with them in between going and taking a shot at, you know, whatever the throwing challenge was and then coming back and then socializing some more. That's what I feel like we got. the bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Jalen that, man, it's opposite end of the spectrum.
Well, yeah, I think
OTA.
No, I think, well, it's clearly opposite end of the spectrum also just from the last 3 or 4 years of monotone voice, boring. You know, like, here's what I thought from a presentation
standpoint.
The sound standpoint.
Of hope and promise and belief.
Well, there was positivity expressed. Look, Jalen did a couple of things yesterday I really, really, really wanted to see, and I was clear about it during the show. I wanted him to exude positivity. He did. I wanted him to smile. He did. I mean, it wasn't like Magic Johnson out there, but, like, he smiled. I thought Jalen presented himself yesterday in a different way, John. To your point, I agree with you. I would say more lively, less monotone.
Genuinely
more
happier.
More smiles, less robotic.
Yeah.
You know, so he had to present differently, in my opinion. He did. And to me, it is a good sign that he was willing to give yesterday something in a way that... Well, that's what he did.
I think he stepped
out of a comfort zone, and I applaud that. Now, James, I sense.
But what if that's his comfort zone now? What if he has?
Well, it's too early to know.
What if
we'll
he's
say.
Happier? What if he we'll is say. More satisfied
Maybe.
with the way the offense is being?
Maybe
run.
He's happier than Nick's less involved, which we found out again yesterday is clear. I mean, Sirianni was very clear. Like, he's not with the quarterback that much. He's got to carve out time to be with him. Because, you know, Kellen Moore's with them in the room. Like, that was a major, to me, that was a headline from yesterday that didn't get enough traction as a headline. I mean, it's like the third or fourth time now we've heard Sirianni essentially admit that he is less involved with the creation and implementation of the offense. I mean, he basically said it yesterday.
Look, well, not just that, but also he was with Jalen every single day. Every single day, and he has alluded
to that. You're saying last year.
Yeah, previously. Well,
exactly.
Previous years.
Yeah.
That was part of his job description. Yeah. Now, that's almost a non-factor. Like, if that happens, it's almost the exception that he's in with the quarterbacks because he's in with all the position groups now where it was once just him and Jalen. Now it's him and you know, 60, 70, 80
other guys. Yeah, no, it's a different
guys.
Deal. I mean, he laid that out. Here's
Big
the other
time.
Thing. So I thought Jalen, one, presented different in that he was more positive and more giving and more forthcoming and a little less reserved and a lot less robotic. That was really good. It's also very good that Jalen said nice things, whether he believes them or not, whether he meant them or not. Now, James, you jumped in there earlier, and it was interesting what you said. It strikes me based on, because you and I have not talked about this. You know, everyone I think listening generally knows, I don't want to hear from John and Devin and Rhea and Seltzer before the show, because I want to find out on the air authentically what you think, and we'll rip on the air and let it roll. So, James, based on the way you popped in there, I sense that you don't frame your thoughts, James, on, do you think Jalen went to a certain spot but didn't go as far as you would have preferred with his comments about Sirianni?
That's exactly right. Look, I think to Richie's point, I do think the whole press conference, if you take it as a whole, he was bouncier, he was smilier, you know, the stuff we wanted to see. But ultimately, going into yesterday and moving forward, my number one thing with this team is the relationship between the quarterback and the head coach. And I thought, like, if it's a pass-fail thing, like, I think he passed yesterday. I think he did just enough talking about it where I don't think he's made the. You don't think he's exacerbated the situation?
Clearly
any,
not. Now,
right?
Clearly, it's less inflamed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think that was super important. But it wasn't like he came out and was like, "Me and Nick are great. Things are awesome. Don't worry." He was basically came out and was like, "Hey, we're a team. As a team, we have a goal, and we're gonna all move towards that goal." And I like that message. That's cool. But it like almost looked like it was a struggle to like. He was like, "Jeffrey and Howie and Nick." Like, I wanted to hear a little bit more positivity about Nick Sirianni from Jalen. Again, I'm okay with what he said.
I agree,
I'm not
James. I agree with you on
I
that.
I just think it was a little muted on the Sirianni front.
Do you think that'd be a little bit over the top and obvious?
No,
and
maybe, just a little bit more.
Well, maybe.
Overkill,
a little more.
Like,
maybe.
Forced to where we would jump on it for being forced?
Maybe, but we could make the argument
Sirianni
did that.
I thought this was sensible. I thought this was tasteful. I thought this was natural. I thought this was Jalen being Jalen, but also a happier version of Jalen. Like, he is more content with the way things are being run around.
Well, he's
around
probably
here.
Happy because Sirianni's less involved and Kellen Moore's more involved.
Well, I don't know that. I know that Jalen looked and acted and spoke happier?
All right, so, Devin, and again, everyone at 215-592-9494, it's a basic question. Do you feel better about the Eagles after yesterday? And I guess second question, if so, how much better?
I feel a lot better about them, but it is just the first day of training camp. I feel, you know, the most confident in what I've seen reported about how Jalen Hurts and the whole offense performed in practice.
Yeah, that's a whole nother, a whole nother thing.
As
obviously.
Far as the pressers go, I think, like, what did I say on the show yesterday? He leaves a lot to be desired in his pressers, and it kind of went exactly how I expected.
Really?
It
so he didn't give you more than you expected or wanted?
No.
Because he gave me more than I...
No.
He was to me, he was different in that he was more of a giving tree and less of a stump.
I think he was a balance between a stump and a giving tree. And I
you're
don't want
a stump, man.
I don't want to drag Jalen Hurts.
Well, the last couple of years,
don't
he was
be
a
calling
stump.
Him.
Well, the last I mean, come on, let's be real. Last couple of years, he was a stump.
I just don't agree with John. Like, I don't think he had to come out there and say all these glowing reviews about Nick Sirianni when, you know, it's becoming pretty apparent that he probably doesn't believe that. And I think Jalen Hurts is a pretty real, honest person.
Yep.
To a fault, as we've seen, and I think he said exactly how he feels, and it was pretty matter of fact. I'm satisfied with it, though. I'm not. I think there could have been a little bit more positivity given, but I was okay with
it. So satisfied works for me. I would say I too am satisfied. I'm not what I'd call thrilled.
Right. Right.
You know, because and look, I get the point that's been made here, and we've made it in recent weeks. You want honesty. Well, no, hold on. Let me take that back. Maybe you don't want honesty. You prefer authenticity. You certainly prefer honesty if it meets the goal of actually being on the same page.
And of winning football games, right?
Well,
you don't need to tell me the truth if it's going to hinder your ability to win football games.
Right. I mean, look, it's an interesting whole thing. I mean, Sirianni's answer, if you notice the way he first framed it, you know, how are you and Jalen? We're good. He didn't say we're great. We're good. So, look, I don't know. Maybe you think we're parsing words. Maybe not. I thought it was a fascinating day. I do think it was a good day for the Eagles because I think it made the situation less inflamed. But I agree with James's point. It didn't exactly convince me that there hasn't been a problem and might not still be a problem. I mean,
but we knew there was a problem.
Well, we knew that. I mean, Jalen Hurts even said yesterday, like, we could have done different things if we were on the same page.
Yeah. There you
I mean,
go.
He actually said that if we were on the same page,
right? And
implying they weren't.
Clearly, we're not.
Yeah.
And
all right.
Now
so
he has reinforced that.
Yeah. Look, I mean, there's a lot to chew on, including what Devin brought up, and we'll detail it as we move through the show. What actually happened in practice? Because by all accounts, from those that witnessed it, which we did not yesterday, will today. Jalen had a good day. You know, obviously they're implementing to a large extent parts of a new offense. So it's good to know that Jalen had, when it actually came to playing the game of football, a good day out there. Look, 215-592-9494. Now, the Phillies did not have a good day. We'll get into that reality
understatement.
Coming up next. Understatement. Correct. Plus, chance to win a really cool prize, concert tickets. That's up ahead as well. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. After yesterday, do you feel better about the Eagles? And after yesterday, what are you thinking about the Phillies? That's up next. From NovaCare Complex today, training camp on 94 WIP.
Don't count on summer heat to melt away those extra pounds. That doesn't work. Here's something that does work. It's NJ Diet. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair, saliva, and blood work along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. No shots, no prepackaged meals, and no surgery. NJ Diet is fully supervised every step of the way to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water, and you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations are close by or available from anywhere with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. That's njdiet.com.
Well, always love broadcasting from the NovaCare Complex. Certainly love hearing the Rolling Stones. Let's hope this year is painted green. Painted green! Like in 2017, February of 2018, when the Birds won the bowl. All right, 215-592-9494. Your reaction to everything from yesterday. If you feel better, a lot better, a bit better, not better, based on what was said yesterday. Let's go to Alex, who joins us. Alex, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, Alex?
What's up, pal?
Joe DeCamera.
Yes, sir.
I am so surprised that you...
Why?
Not satisfied with what Jalen said or what
I didn't. I didn't say I'm not. I didn't say I'm not. I actually said satisfied is a good word to describe how I feel.
What you said, it wasn't what you expected.
It was. I would say this. It was. I didn't know what to expect from Jalen, but I'd say he did more than I expected to make me happy. He presented a different. I mean, did you listen to the first segment or did you not listen? Like he was more giving. He was more giving yesterday. He exuded more positivity than I expected. I certainly wanted it, and I thought he delivered on that.
And it felt and that was authentic, good. Didn't it? Like it didn't feel forced. Happy.
I thought the positivity about the team felt authentic.
Yeah.
His comments about Sirianni. And look, I'm just climbing into a world where I don't know for sure, but I would say his comments about Sirianni, in my opinion, felt less authentic than his positivity about the team. But everybody can make their own determination.
I listened to the whole press conference with him, and I the one part that just stood out to me is that when he said, when you're losing and things aren't going right, I mean – tempers get flared up. Like people have emotions. Mm-hmm. That's an emotional game. Sports is just emotional, period. So I can understand the animosity. Everybody's saying exactly what's on their mind. It comes out wrong. I mean, I think the relationship is fine. It's right where it needs to be at. As far as I don't need them to be best friends. I just need them to be on the same page and want to win some damn games.
No, I think that's right. Look, Alex, I think that's a great point, a great call, man. Appreciate the call. I think that's right on point. And it does feel like they've taken a step forward, if for no other reason, because they're not going to be as involved with each other anymore. I mean, that was one part. I mean, John, that was a wild aspect of yesterday. Sirianni's very clear. He's not going to be in the room that much. I mean, it's Kellen Moore. It is Kellen Moore. That's one thing that has stood out based on what Nick has said over the last couple of months. It's Kellen Moore showing offense. It really is.
It's Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier, this new quarterback's coach that we haven't really interacted with.
Yeah, well,
we don't know as a fan base.
Yeah, well, you never know much about the QB
but
coach. It's like the Haney coach. What do you really know?
Is once upon a time we had John DeFilippo here.
Yeah, you
as
know,
right, the quarterback
right, and DeFilippo won the Super Bowl for the Eagles.
Yeah,
Seltzer, did you know that? John DeFilippo and Frank Reich, they actually won the Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I don't even think Doug involved.
I don't even know why anyone else got to lift the Lombardi Trophy. It was all
they
them.
They mostly called the plays.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't call the plays, dude. Stop.
Doug called the plays.
Guys,
they were involved
Doug called
in
the plays.
Take it easy.
Oh, sarcasm. Okay. They were involved in coaching up Carson, though, in a way that was very effective in the early years. And look, we'll never know what would have happened with Carson if the freaking guy from New England had freaking stayed in Indianapolis instead of backing out of a damn job, which took
McDaniels
Reich off the board. And, of course, that was after DeFilippo had left for Minnesota because, you know, Minnesota came to DeFilippo earlier in the offseason. The whole thing was damn weird, to say the least. Right, also weird, the way the Phils are playing right now. So, Seltzer, I can tell you're getting a little fired up. Matter of fact, James, before you even comment, let's listen. Hate to do it, but let's do it. How yesterday? So yesterday, Phils got a lead. They had squandered some opportunities early, but they still 4-1. They like even though they had squandered opportunities, Schwarber with a really big hit. It's like, all right, everybody relax. Probably going to take 2 or 3. A 3-1 lead becomes a 4-1 lead.
He went down to get
he
that.
Did.
Thing.
He did.
That's like the first hit he's had in forever.
Well,
like
it was.
One out of 21 or something.
So he pops it into center field. It's all good. We're feeling good. And then it's the bullpen's turn after a good start by Aaron Nola. So you got struggles from Kirk Green. You got struggles from Strom. And then you're going to get, in the ninth inning, struggles from Soto, who's not normally in that spot. Obviously he is because Alvarado has not been good lately. And this ensues.
2-2 the count. The lefty kicks and delivers. And the pitch is grounded back up the middle. Stotts got it, but he's got no chance. And Larnach scores, and the Twins win it.
Infield drawn in. There was nothing Stott could do. His balance took him away from any shot at actually coming home with a runner on third, Bolton home on contact, and that was it. So a 4-1 lead became a 5-4 loss. Devin, as you said in the updates, three series in a row now the Phils have lost.
Yeah.
You know, Bryce Harper not happy about it after the game. I mean, Bryce kind of laying a tone out there of this is, you know, this is not, I don't want to say he said the word acceptable. I forget the exact word, but he wasn't happy. Clearly wasn't happy.
And really not happy with the umps either. He called the umps out after the game.
Well, so I thought, I thought some calls that the Phillies were mad about, the Phillies had a righteous claim to be mad. I thought some the Phillies did not have.
Especially a couple of those strikeouts. You've got to get the bat off your shoulders. The early ones, like Boehm and Marshall, you've got to get your bat off the shoulders.
The
first and second inning when they leave runners on, like, you have to swing at that pitch.
All right, James, Phils. Floor is yours. What do you got?
So I'm not, like, panicking. Right? They still have the biggest division lead in baseball. They still have the lead in the NL and all that. But, I mean, it was a super annoying loss yesterday. And it's really, like, I feel like the game out of the All-Star break, the Pirates 8-7 loss, and then yesterday are, like, the first two losses that have felt like the pre-June Phillies the last couple years, if you know what I mean. And like the Phillies prior to that, you know, 2019, 2020, 2021, like the Phillies that would just have a game in hand and blow it in an incredibly stupid way. Like Brandon Marsh not catching a ball you absolutely have to catch.
Yeah,
Orion Kerkring hitting, dude. I mean, Scott Franski said it yesterday. It's wild. Orion Kerkring has hit one less batter than Zach Wheeler, who leads the team with 7. Kerkring has 6 in 100 less innings. Like,
well,
Kerkring's got to stop hitting,
you know what I thought
dudes.
I'll tell you what I thought was the worst of it yesterday. And
really,
this might not.
Did you doubt that hit the dude? At any point.
It hit him. It got his shirt. It was close.
Sure?
Yeah,
it
was close. But it
was so ticky-tack, by the way.
Yeah, but
I got to tell you, I thought the worst of yesterday was Soto. I mean, the ball was everywhere.
Well, it was horrendous.
The ball was all over
the
place.
No, he couldn't throw a strike.
Now, the good thing is,
I didn't like the way he talked afterwards either. Like, I did not like his lack of, well, some of that is lost in the translation, but I would have liked to have seen him be a little more responsible.
Look, I'd say
for
the Phillies
lost. It was his fault.
Oh,
that
no,
is
he blew
on
it.
You.
And
man.
Look, he's probably either not going to get that chance again or not get it often. I mean, he was given an opportunity this week with the struggles of Alvarado to step up, and he hasn't. Which obviously means it might be Dombrowski's job to step up with a left-handed reliever. And look, hopefully Alvarado rounds into form and you're good to go for October. I mean, you know, maybe. But you know, it's noticeable that Alvarado's struggling lately. Soto, I mean, let's be real. You don't really trust Soto. I mean, you don't. I mean, Rob Thompson's going home in July right now in a big spot because he doesn't trust Alvarado right now.
Yeah, he can't be pitching high leverage in the playoffs. Him and Sir Anthony have not proven that. Like, the Alvarado thing, it's a down period, but we've seen him have these and come back, so I'm not freaking out. But I don't think you can trust Soto or Sir Anthony in big, big, big spots.
Well, take your reaction on the Phils at 215-592-9494. How you feel about them now? Again, also in the Eagles, whether you feel better about the Birds after yesterday, particularly with what was said by Sirianni, Howie, and Hurts after yesterday, do you feel better or not? If so, how much better do you feel? All of that on the table. Are you frustrated with the Phils? 215-592-9494. Also coming up, your chance to win a really cool prize. And Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman, we're going to give you a portion of what they said yesterday. What they said about Jalen, what they said about the offense, what they said about the team. We'll get to that. We'll rock all the calls on all the topics. Show to camera, John Ritchie, from NovaCare, from the training camp. It's 94 WIP.
And of course, NAS are the letters that spell.
All right, great to be with you today on this Thursday morning. Our broadcast from the NovaCare Complex here at training camp is driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier family-owned dealership. For locations, go to hitchrv.com. Eagles will be practicing at about 10 o'clock today. So obviously, we'll start seeing the players when they come out and stretch and warm up and do all those good things during the 9 o'clock hour, to a certain extent during the 8 o'clock hour. I mean, Devontae Smith will join us at 8:30 today. So it should be a great show. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up in just the next couple of minutes, Sirianni and Howie, a portion of what they said yesterday. Then in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get to the full press conference of what Jalen Hurts said yesterday. So a lot up ahead just the next couple hours. Again, your phone calls 215-592-9494. When you call in, you can certainly answer this Twitter poll question of the day, which relates to the Phils, and it's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Make sure you check out Armin Chevy's quality certified pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. All right, poll question. Which is a bigger need for the Phillies as they approach the trade deadline? Obviously, we're getting close. Trade deadline, you know, in like 6 days or 5 days, whatever the heck it is. Bigger need. Is it A, starting outfielder, which you can make a case they could use a center fielder or a left fielder or both, or B, a relief pitcher? And you can certainly make the case that while that hadn't seemed like that big a need with Alvarado's issues, with Alvarado's issues, with Soto's issues, with the reality that in all likelihood,
Sir Anthony hasn't looked right at all.
His issues, and Strom and Hoffman, it's probably almost impossible they'd be as good as they've been. I mean, believe me, I believe in them. I'm just saying you can't be much better than like a one ERA. So outfielder or relief pitcher.
Gosh, this one is so easy for me.
What is it for you?
It's helping the bullpen.
Yeah.
Give me more
arms. I'm on the other side for sure.
I think the last three series have made me sway to I'm full relief pitcher because, I mean, you win a lot of these games and series if you have better help.
You do.
A lot of our guys don't look good.
But they're center fielder and left fielder. It's bad.
I mean, they go into the playoffs with Pache, Marsh, and Rojas as two essentially a platoon and two of your
starters. But you also can't win if your bullpen keeps blowing games.
But here's my thing, Devin. I trust the relievers surrounding a form more than I trust the outfielders to suddenly become, you know.
Yeah, Pache's not going to be like, oh, now I can hit. Here you go, guys. Like, Jose Alvarado could absolutely in 3 weeks be like, oh, there's Jose. Cool.
Look, I was struck before. 2 days ago, Ruben was very clear to us. He thinks bullpen is like the thing, more important. So, okay, look, you can weigh in at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Also, again, as I mentioned on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. By the way, when you do weigh in today, your chance to win a really cool prize, as we've been giving away all week here on the station, a pair of tickets to Imagine Dragons, great band. The Imagine Dragons Loom World Tour, which is happening on July 30th, which coincidentally is also the trade deadline day. It's happening at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. All right, how do you win them today? Well, first of all, shout out to the great movie Caddyshack, which debuted on this day back in the early 1980s. Great movie, one of the all-time comedies. Has a very strange plot through the movie of the gopher. Like, I accept a certain degree of, you know, suspension of disbelief when you have comedies and stuff like this. But the gopher thing I thought was just flat-out dumb. I always thought it was dumb. And I know it's necessary to, like, have the whole course blown up at the end, but it was just a dumb way to, in my opinion, it was a dumb way to get there.
And I felt like the Bill Murray thing sort of fell in with
that. Yeah, the combination was
And it
dumb.
Was, like, beneath him. Gopher thing brought the level of the movie down.
I thought so, too, but a lot of people like it. I don't know. Make of it what you will. Here's the deal. Today at 215-592-9494, give us something from a pretty good movie. Doesn't have to be a truly great movie, but at least an above-average movie with something dumb, with something strange, with something that might be out of place. Like, when you think of something in a decent movie or great movie, dumb, strange, out of place, best answer, whoever provides it. Like, let me give you an example. I'm going to go to the movie Doc Hollywood. Clearly not a great movie, but it was a good movie. It was a quality movie, early 1990s, Michael J. Fox. You know what's really strange? In an otherwise totally PG-13 movie, there's a scene where Julie Warner just pops out of a lake naked. And I'm like, I don't quite know why.
So you had a problem with that?
I didn't say I had a problem with it. I didn't say 15-year-old me had a problem with it or 14, whatever the heck I was.
It didn't add to the plot?
Well, it added to the plot. I would say it did not add to the PG-13. I don't know how the heck. I mean, it's like, there's a lot of nudity.
Yeah.
In an otherwise totally PG-13 movie. I would call that one strange. Devin, give me an answer. Strange, dumb, weird, out of place. What do you got?
So I don't want to take anything away from Robin Williams because, you know, he's the GOAT. But Mrs. Doubtfire, great movie. A little weird that it was just like this guy pretending to be a nanny and no one seemed to notice. And we were all just totally cool with it. Yeah.
Like, they look in their dad's eyes and they don't realize it's
Their dad. And they're like, oh, no, this is like a legitimate old woman who's nannying.
Seltzer, give me an answer here. Something dumb, strange, out of place. And again, everyone, 215-592-9494. James, what do you got?
Yeah, I hate to do it. I think it's the most entertaining Rocky movie. Richie and I agree on that. Rocky III. Like, Mick dying is ridiculous. Like, there's no reason. It's so dumb. It's like he's got all this time in the world to go to the freaking hospital. Instead, he lays there in the back while he's fighting. He's like, oh, don't send me to the hospital. Who's listening to this old man dying of a heart attack instead of sending him to the hospital? Like, the whole thing's crazy. And I mean, and
no,
on top of that, I know
you're
Rocky
right.
said he should have, like, oh, I'll stop the fight. He's like, don't stop the fight. Stop the fight! Your guy is having a heart attack in the back. The whole thing is nonsense. He didn't have to die.
All right, now listen, certainly not taking him to the hospital is a good answer. John, when you think of some dumb stranger out of place, what hit you?
The first time this occurred for me, the first time I was watching a movie, Teen Wolf, I thought it was a great movie, 1985.
Yep.
Michael J. Fox,
love it, by the way. Yeah, of course.
Strange that we're doubling up. He had to look at the basketball when he dribbled. Michael J. Fox is supposed to be the best basketball player on that high school team, and he had to look at it while he's dribbling out there? Come on, man. I don't care if he can turn into a werewolf or not.
A great
that guy's not a real basketball player.
Miscast.
At the time, in 1985, I'm in fifth grade. My dad and I are out in the shooting baskets all the time.
Yep.
I'm working on not looking at it while I'm dribbling it. I could not, for the life of me, understand how that made it through, like, the edit.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting answer. No, a guy cast for a movie that you can tell he doesn't really know how to do the sport that's featured in the movie. All right, good answers there. Give us great answers, everyone listening. 215-592-9494 from a pretty good movie. You can't give me Joe versus the Volcano, okay? That's not a good movie. Good movie, something dumb, something strange, something out of place. Best answer wins the tickets. Now, we were looking yesterday for answers from Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni. Let's get to a portion of what they said. What we're going to air here is about half of their press conference. Some of the more notable things as it relates to Jalen Hurts, the offense, the coming season. Here's yesterday. This is about half. And then right to the phone lines after this. So listen, and then we'll react. Because this aired at the very, 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 very end of our show yesterday. We had no time to react. Here's about half of Howie and Nick from yesterday.
Report last week that described your relationship with Jalen as a work in progress. I'm curious, entering your fourth year, how is your relationship with Jalen, and maybe how did last year test it?
You know, only thing you can judge your relationships on is your personal interactions with people, not any report that comes out. And, you know, Jalen and I's relationship is good. It's, again, you just can judge it based off of what your personal interactions are. And so when you hear a report like that, you don't put much stock into it because, quite frankly, not everybody sees that. So I'm so excited for him and I to get into our fourth year together. We've done some pretty special things, and I'm really excited for him. He's worked so hard at his game. I'm excited for him to be able to get back out here today and have a good practice today. And, just looking forward to continuing to work with him and continue to build on the special things that we've done.
With the change in your role a little bit, how has that changed your relationship with Jalen? You have to work a little harder.
You know what? That's a good question, because I'm not in that quarterback room all the time anymore. So it's like some of those times you'd have that natural relationship because you're always in there. But what I think's been beneficial for that everybody needs that time with me, not just me being in the quarterback room, me being able to be into the defensive end room, me being able to go into the linebacker room. So naturally, when you're not just with the quarterbacks, you have to carve out a little bit more time to talk to them, you know, that you wouldn't get when you're in there all the time. So, yeah, I do that for every position, and now I just have to do that a little bit more with the quarterback position because I'm not in there full time.
Both of you, I guess there was a report about the coordinators and Howie, you involved in the hiring. Nick, you talked about it. Could you guys kind of clarify that process?
I can do it. And, you know, I think through our process of looking at our first round pick, I feel like myself, our scouts, we had great information on him. Obviously, he went to Toledo. Nick's college roommate is the head coach of Toledo. When Nick came to me and he said, hey, I got this information on Q, it made me feel much better about the selection that we already felt good about. It's the same process for when we do coaches. You know, Nick will come to me and say, these are the guys I'm thinking about. Do you have any relationship? Do you know these guys? You know, obviously, I've been in the league a long time. I had prior relationships with both of those guys. it makes him feel better about the decision he's making. I mean, these aren't under-the-radar guys. These are talented guys that have been in the league for a long time. And that's how good organizations make decisions. At the end of the day, I'm responsible for the players that I bring in here, draft, free agency, and he's responsible for his coaching staff. But we work together. You know, that's the whole part of being a team.
Taylor first expressed, dismay at the fact that he's had to change coordinators, offensive schemes on a yearly basis this past year. Obviously, there's been a change, even in this last offseason. Instead, he wished he had coaching consistency, such as like maybe a Jeff Stout at the offensive line. There seems to be a discrepancy between what he thinks is going to be 95% changing in the offense versus what you have said. How much more does he have to learn this offseason?
We're all in a work in progress as far as learning different things on our offense, on our defense, on our special teams, things we're doing, situational football. Obviously everything we do as far as, changes we make in the staff, changes we make to, your offense or your defense is all for what we believe is good for the team and will help us. Even staffs that have, the same play caller, they tweak things year in, year out, right? Because if you stay still in this league will catch up to you quickly. And so, as far as the percentage or anything like that, we are working to do what we do best. So, like I said, there are things that we've done well in the past that we'll continue to do. There's things that are going to be new tweaks and new things completely. And like I said to you guys, I think I said this after, as far as a play may look exactly the same on tape, right? You may say, okay, I'm looking at this play. Oh, I saw them run that play a bunch last year, and they ran it a bunch this time. But sometimes you're coaching it a little bit differently. And that's evolving as an offense. That's that happens even when you have the same a similar staff. But there are people that are same on the staff, right? The tight end coach is the same. The running back coach is the same. The assistant head coach, who's Kevin Petullo, is the same, right? The wide receiver coach is the same. The offensive line coach is the same. TJ has moved up in his role to assistant offensive line coach. So there are a lot of similarities in coaching styles and coaching staff, and some of the things that we're doing with little tweaks here and there.
I would also say, and this isn't related to Jalen, the hardest part about continuity in the NFL from front office, from a coaching staff, is that you win, you lose people. You lose people. And so it's really hard to keep a lot of good people in place for a long period of time. This is nothing about Jalen, but just in general. So, it's just probably a little bit different than other industries where it's hard to do that. And, of course, I'm sitting here. And
Nick, you talked about that 30,000-foot view you have now. And I know you're constantly evaluating things. But it is a little bit of a different role. Did you come into this day one with one or two different things that say, hey, now I can do this a little bit more, now I can focus?
And of course, NAS are the letters that spell.
Great to be with you today on this Thursday morning. Our broadcast from the NovaCare Complex here at Training Camp is driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier family-owned dealership. For locations, go to hitchrv.com. Eagles will be practicing at about 10 o'clock today. So obviously we'll start seeing the players when they come out and stretch and warm up and do all those good things during the 9 o'clock hour, to a certain extent during the 8 o'clock hour. I mean, Devontae Smith will join us at 8:30 today. So it should be a great show. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up in just the next couple of minutes, Sirianni and Howie, a portion of what they said yesterday. Then in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get to the full press conference of what Jalen Hurts said yesterday. So a lot up ahead just in the next couple hours. Again, your phone call is 215-592-9494. When you call in, you can certainly answer this Twitter poll question of the day, which relates to the Phils, and it's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Make sure you check out Armin Chevy's quality certified pre-owned vehicles at arminchevy.com. That's arminchevy.com. Together, let's drive. All right, poll question.
Which is a bigger need for the Phillies as they approach the trade deadline? Obviously, we're getting close. Trade deadline, you know, in like 6 days or 5 days, whatever the heck it is. Bigger need. Is it a starting outfielder, which you can make a case they could use a center fielder or a left fielder or both, or B, a relief pitcher? And you can certainly make the case that while that hadn't seemed like that big a need with Alvarado's issues, with Alvarado's issues, with Soto's issues, with the reality that in all likelihood,
Sir Anthony hasn't looked right at all.
His issues and Strom and Hoffman, it's probably almost impossible they'd be as good as they've been. I mean, believe me, I believe in them. I'm just saying, you can't be much better than like a one ERA. So, outfielder or relief pitcher.
Gosh, this one is so easy for me.
What is it for you?
It's help in the bullpen. Yeah. Just give me more.
I'm
arms.
On the other side
you
for sure.
I think
the last. I think
the last
the
three
too.
Series have made me sway to. Now I'm full relief pitcher because I mean you win a lot of these games and series if you have better help.
You do.
Last a lot
night,
of our
guys
don't
so
look good.
Though.
But they're center fielder and left fielder. It's bad.
I mean, you can go into playoffs with Pache, Marsh, and Rojas as your as two essentially a platoon and
but
two
your
starters.
But you also can't win
it's
if your bullpen keeps blowing games.
But I here's my thing, Devin. I trust relievers surrounding a form more than I trust the outfielders to suddenly become, you know.
Yeah, Pache's not going to be like, oh, now I can hit. Here you go, guys. Like, yeah. Jose Alvarado could absolutely in 3 weeks be like, oh, there's Jose. Cool.
Look, I was
struck before.
2 days ago, Ruben was very clear to us. He thinks bullpen is like the thing, more important. So, okay, look, you can weigh in at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Also, again, as I mentioned on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. By the way, when you do weigh in today, your chance to win a really cool prize, as we've been giving away all week here on the station, a pair of tickets to Imagine Dragons, great band. The Imagine Dragons Loom World Tour, which is happening on July 30th, which coincidentally is also the trade deadline day. It's happening at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. All right, how do you win them today? Well, first of all, shout out to the great movie Caddyshack, which debuted on this day back in the early 1980s. Great movie, one of the all-time comedies. Has a very strange plot through the movie of the gopher. Like, I accept a certain degree of, you know, suspension of disbelief when you have comedies and stuff like this. But the gopher thing I thought was just flat-out dumb. I always thought it was dumb. And I know it's necessary to, like, have the whole course blown up at the end, but it was just a dumb way to, in my opinion, it was a dumb way to get there. Right?
And I felt like the Bill Murray thing sort of fell in with
that. Yeah, the combination was
and it
dumb.
Was, like beneath him.
It, to
you know,
me
like, the gopher thing brought the level of the movie down.
I thought so, too, but a lot of people like it. I don't know. Make of it what you will. Here's the deal. Today at 215-592-9494, give us something from a pretty good movie. Doesn't have to be a truly great movie, but at least an above-average movie with something dumb, with something strange, with something that might be out of place. Like, when you think of something in a decent movie or great movie, dumb, strange, out of place, best answer, whoever provides it. Like, let me give you an example. I'm going to go to the movie Doc Hollywood. Clearly not a great movie, but it was a good movie. It was a quality movie, early 1990s, Michael J. Fox. You know what's really strange? In an otherwise totally PG-13 movie, there's a scene where Julie Warner just pops out of a lake naked. And I'm like, I don't quite know why.
So you had a problem with that?
I didn't say I had a problem with it. I didn't say 15-year-old me had a problem with it or 14, whatever the heck I was.
It didn't add to the plot?
Well, it added to the plot. I would say it did not add to the PG-13. I don't know how the heck. I mean, it's like, there's a lot of nudity.
Yeah.
In an otherwise totally PG-13 movie. I would call that one strange. Devin, give me an answer. Strange, dumb, weird, out of place. What do you got?
So I don't want to take anything away from Robin Williams because, you know, he's the GOAT. But Mrs. Doubtfire, great movie. A little weird that it was just like this guy pretending to be a nanny and no one seemed to notice. And we were all just totally cool with it. Yeah.
Like they look in their dad's eyes and they don't realize it's
Yeah, and they're like, oh, no, this is like a legitimate old woman who's nanny.
Seltzer, give me an answer here. Something dumb, strange, out of place. And again, everyone, 215-592-9494. James, what do you got?
Yeah, I hate to do it. I think it's the most entertaining Rocky movie. Richie and I agree on that. Rocky III. Like, Mick dying is ridiculous. Like, there's no reason. It's so dumb. It's like he's got all this time in the world to go to the freaking hospital. Instead, he lays there in the back while he's fighting. He's like, oh, don't send me to the hospital. Who's listed his old man dying of a heart attack instead of sending him to the hospital? Like, the whole thing's crazy. And I mean, and
no,
on top
hospital's
of that,
a good call.
I know
You're
Rocky
right.
said he should have, like, oh, I'll stop the fight. He's like, don't stop the fight. Stop the fight. Your guy is having a heart attack in the back. The whole thing is nonsense. He didn't have to die.
All right, now listen, that's I mean, certainly not taking him to the hospital is a good answer. John, when you think of some dumb stranger out of place, what hit you?
The first time this occurred for me, the first time I was watching a movie, Teen Wolf, I thought it was a great movie, 1985.
Yep.
Michael J. Fox,
Love him, by the way. Yeah, of course.
Strange that we're doubling up. He had to look at the basketball when he dribbled. Michael J. Fox is supposed to be the best basketball player on that high school team, and he had to look at it while he's dribbling out there? Come on, man. I don't care if he can turn into a werewolf or not.
A great
that guy's not a real basketball player.
Miscast.
And at the time, in 1985, I'm in fifth grade. My dad and I are out in the in the shooting baskets all the time.
Yep.
I'm working on not looking at it while I'm dribbling it. I could not, for the life of me, understand how that made it through, like, the edit.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting answer. No, a guy cast for a movie that you can tell he doesn't really know how to do the sport that's featured in the movie. All right, good answers there. Give us great answers, everyone listening. 215-592-9494. From a pretty good movie. You can't give me Joe versus the Volcano, okay? That's not a good movie. Good movie, something dumb, something strange, something out of place. Best answer wins the tickets. Now, we were looking yesterday for answers from Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni. Let's get to a portion of what they said. What we're going to air here is about half of their press conference. Some of the more notable things as it relates to Jalen Hurts, the offense, the coming season. Here's yesterday. This is about half. And then right to the phone lines after this. So listen, and then we'll react. Because this aired at the very, 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 very end of our show yesterday. We had no time to react. Here's about half of Howie and Nick from yesterday.
Report last week that described your relationship with Jalen as a work in progress. I'm curious, entering your fourth year, how is your relationship with Jalen? Maybe how did last year test it?
You know, only thing you can judge your relationships on is your personal interactions with people, not any report that comes out. And, you know, Jalen and I's relationship is good. It's, again, you just can judge it based off of what your personal interactions are. And so when you hear a report like that, you don't put much stock into it because, quite frankly, not everybody sees that. So I'm so excited for him and I to get into our fourth year together. We've done some pretty special things, and I'm really excited for him. He's worked so hard at his game. I'm excited for him to be able to get back out here today and have a good practice today. And, just looking forward to continuing to work with him and continue to build on the special things that we've done.
With the change in your role a little bit, how has that changed your relationship with Jalen? You have to work a little harder.
You know what? That's a good question, because I'm not in that quarterback room all the time anymore. So it's like some of those times you'd have that natural relationship because you're always in there. But what I think's been beneficial for that everybody needs that time with me, not just me being in the quarterback room, me being able to be into the defensive end room, me being able to go into the linebacker room. So naturally, when you're not just with the quarterbacks, you have to carve out a little bit more time to talk to them, you know, that you wouldn't get when you're in there all the time. So, yeah, I do that for every position, and now I just have to do that a little bit more with the quarterback position because I'm not in there full time.
To both of you, I guess there was a report about the coordinators and how you involved in the hiring. Nick, you talked about it. Could you guys kind of clarify that process?
I can do it. And, you know, I think for our process of looking at our first-round pick, I feel like myself, our scouts, we had great information on him. Obviously, he went to Toledo. Nick's college roommate is the head coach of Toledo. When Nick came to me and he said, hey, I got this information on Q, it made me feel much better about the selection that we already felt good about. It's the same process for when we do coaches. You know, Nick will come to me and say, these are the guys I'm thinking about. Do you have any relationship? Do you know these guys? You know, obviously, I've been in the league a long time. I had prior relationships with both of those guys. it makes him feel better about the decision he's making. I mean, these aren't under-the-radar guys. These are talented guys that have been in the league for a long time. And that's how good organizations make decisions. At the end of the day, I'm responsible for the players that I bring in here, draft, free agency, and he's responsible for his coaching staff. But we work together. You know, that's the whole part of being a team.
Taylor first expressed, you know, dismay at the fact that he's had to change coordinators, offensive teams on a yearly basis. This past year, obviously, there's been a change. Even in this last offseason, he said he wished he had coaching consistency, such as like maybe a Jeff Stoutland at the offensive line. There seems to be a discrepancy between what he thinks is going to be 95% changing in the offense versus what you have said. How much more does he have to learn this offseason?
We're all in a work in progress as far as learning different things on our offense, on our defense, on our special teams, things we're doing, situational football. You know, obviously everything we do as far as, you know, changes we make in the staff, changes we make to, you know, your offense or your defense is all for the what we believe is good for the team and will help us. You know, even staffs that have, the same play caller, they tweak things year in, year out, right? Because if you stay still in this league will catch up to you quickly. And so, you know, as far as the percentage or anything like that, we are working to do what we do best. So, you know, like I said, there are things that we've done well in the past that we'll continue to do. There's things that are going to be new tweaks and new things completely. And like I said to you guys, I think I said this after, like, as far as a play may look exactly the same on tape, right? You may say, okay, I'm looking at this play. Oh, I saw them run that play a bunch last year, and they ran it a bunch this time. But sometimes you're coaching it a little bit differently. And that's evolving as an offense. That's that happens even when you have the same a similar staff. But there are people that are same on the staff, right? The tight end coach is the same. The running back coach is the same. The assistant head coach, who's Kevin Petullo, is the same, right? The wide receiver coach is the same. The offensive line coach is the same. TJ has moved up in his role to assistant offensive line coach. So there are a lot of similarities in coaching styles and coaching staff, and some of the things that we're doing with little tweaks here and there.
I would also say, and this isn't related to Jalen, you know, the hardest part about continuity in the NFL from front office, from a coaching staff, is that you win, you lose people. You lose people. And so it's really hard to keep a lot of good people in place for a long period of time. This is nothing about Jalen, but just in general. So, you know, it's just probably a little bit different than other industries where it's hard to do that. And, of course, I'm sitting here. And
Nick, you talked about that 30,000-foot view you have now. And I know you're constantly evaluating things. But it is a little bit of a different role. Did you come into this day one with one or two different things that say, hey, now I can do this a little bit more, now I can focus?
You know, obviously, the way you come out here, and like, I'm going to be coaching guys up, right? And that's what's fun. You're going to be able to go, like, but I feel like I've been doing that since, you know, even though I was only with the offense, and I wouldn't say only with the offense, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking forward to getting out here and coaching guys up. And it doesn't matter what position, whether it's, you know, Paris Campbell or whether it's Rick Lovato, or, you know, I don't have a ton of great coaching points for the long snapper. That's not my
expertise. Who walks by next will be the next name called out.
You know, or, you know, whoever it is. But, you know, I'm just looking forward to getting back out there, coaching guys up, and then getting in the film room and you know, kind of living out our core values.
So, Taylor, what are the key things that you're looking for to see him in his development as a leader as he enters your
club? Yeah, I've been fortunate to be with Jalen now coming on my fourth year. You know, I think he's got tremendous energy, tremendous work ethic. You know, just like all of us, everything that he feels like he can continue to work on, he will do. You know, this is a guy that obviously has brought us tremendous success since he's been our starting quarterback, has played at a tremendously high level. I have tremendous confidence in him that whatever he has to do to continue being an MVP candidate, he will do.
All right, that's Howie Roseman, and obviously a lot of Nick Sirianni from yesterday. Look, you can weigh in to react at 215-592-9494. That first aired about 21 hours ago at the very end of our show yesterday, so we didn't have a chance to react after it. John, your one or two main takeaways. What hit you the most from what Howie said, what Nick said? There was a lot in there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Where to start? I am more positive about this than negative, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I feel very upbeat about Nick's involvement with less with Jalen, more with the rest of the team. But I am a little bit concerned about, like, his response to the, hey, what's your plan for camp? I'm just looking forward to coaching guys up and living out our core values. Like, it doesn't really feel like there's a concrete idea. Like, this, it feels like he's going to get a feel for this as he does it.
Like, you think he's trying to find his way in this?
I think so.
Sort of new role.
And how could you blame him? Because it is, you know, like, he's not prepared for this. This isn't the way that he was hired. He wasn't hired under these circumstances. Remember, once upon a time, he was the offensive coordinator, the play caller, the guy who was designing everything, the young Uber-kind who was going to be, you know, calling it all. And that's not anything close to what we're dealing
with.
No,
it's really not. I mean, that part to me comes
night and day
through clear, that he's really not going to be that involved with the offense. I mean, that's, I believe that. Because there's nothing he has said that has denied me from thinking that. James, do you agree with that? That based on the way he's presented things, it's pretty clear that his role in the offense has been cut dramatically?
I don't think there's any question. And it was from the very first press conference that Nick and Howie did after Kellen Moore. They said this is going to be Kellen Moore's offense, and it has never changed from that.
No. Listen, I give Sirianni credit for being authentic. Like, there's a lot of coaches that would try to play peekaboo with that. You know, they wouldn't want the public to know it. They would have, it would be a self-esteem
ego issue. Thing, yeah.
Ego thing, exactly. Like, even if the owner and the general manager stripped them of power, they would try
to. There's a reason for that. I mean, it should be an ego thing because guys look at the big brains on these coaches. The players want to be awed by the X's and O's.
Well,
they want to know that their coaches can dazzle the other side's coaches and put them in optimal positions at the drop of a hat where we can win because they're smarter than the coaches that are on the other side.
No, I hear you there. Two things I'll say on Sirianni. One, for sure, to his credit, and the other one, it's life. So, number one, I do think he's in survival mode as a coach. I mean, he's trying to maintain being a head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles and being a head coach in the NFL, and I think he's in survival mode to do everything he can to keep that going for as long as possible. So that makes perfect sense, and that's human nature. Number two, and this is, I think, tremendously to his credit, Elliott's made this point a number of times with us, and I agree with him about it. I think Sirianni really, 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 really cares. Really cares about winning and the Eagles. And if the determination has been made that they have a better chance to win with Kellen Moore running the offense than Nick Sirianni, I think Sirianni goes with it. Because then that's what it is.
He doesn't have
listen,
a choice.
Sirianni probably knows last year he stunk at play design. Forget play calling. It wasn't a play calling issue. It was a play design issue. It was the same offense for the third straight year, and defenses caught up to it.
It was completely unsophisticated to the point where teams started blitzing us, and we did not react in any way.
Yeah,
we didn't change in any way what we were doing to account for that.
So look,
we didn't protect our quarterback when they came and tried to take his head.
So that's about half of what we just heard. The other half, of course, is his answers as it related to Jalen Hurts and their relationship. Look, we'll take your calls on all aspects of what you just heard. 215-592-9494. What stood out to you, including, you know, Sirianni when asked, what's the relationship? It's good. It's good. Okay, all right. What's your reaction?